Media at SAFM with Ashraf Gardner. Exploring every media platform and industry. Only on 104 to 107.
And a very good morning indeed. The media show is on now. So for the next 2 hours, we talk marketing, we talk branding, we talk advertising, we talk things that communicate. We certainly talk journalism as well. And we talk to you if you feel that you want to add something to the show. And you can do that in 3 ways. In fact, you can do that via SMS 40938. You can call in, subject relevant at that time, of course, 0891104207. And if you are tweeting, well, first of all, use hashtag media show, and then tweet to SFM Radio and tweet to me personally, Ashraf Gardner. And as many people do when they quote tweet, we certainly retweet that immediately. But add your own thoughts, your own comments as well, as per the discussions of the morning. Lots indeed to talk about. However, let's start with something that's really important around issues of media, as in journalism, and issues around women in media specifically. I will throw in the Netnekasa Awards as well, because some significant developments happened last night. So first up, Mkhlati Gallants, the chairperson of SANEF, the South African National Editors Forum, is with us. Mkhlati, good chatting to you. Hi.
Good morning, Ashraf. Thank you for having me.
You had a late night, I think.
Very, very, very late.
All right. Well, there we are. Okay. There's a few things we need to talk about. I'm not too sure whether we want to go to the Netnekasa Awards first, because it's just happened
overnight. Let's start there.
Maybe we should. As news people, we need to go with the first things first. Right. Okay. So tell us, what does that award mean, you know, in terms of what does it stand for? Who is Netnekasa, in fact? And there's some significant winners, right? So tell us about that.
Obviously, this is an award to remember the legacy of Netnekasa, who was a journalist who, during the apartheid era, was forced to go and live in exile and unfortunately died in exile. And part of our project in democratic South Africa was to ensure that he returns to the country and is buried back in his home country. And that has happened. That's one of the big retreats that SANEF, together with the family and government, had been working on, and we do know that he was finally returned. And what we are doing with this award is remembering his courage to write about what was wrong with apartheid, and his courage even in fear to continue to do the work and using the pen as his power to influence change and force for and push towards a democratic South Africa. So now what we are doing is we're using his legacy to also inspire other journalists who have shown courage, who have shown that they will go an extra mile to actually ensure that the story is told. And Ashraf, this year that award was given to Sipho Masondo, who is with the City Press. And we have calculated that he was offered a bribe of amounting to about 3.5 million rand.
Wow.
To try and stop him from doing the stories that have been carried in the front pages of the City Press around corruption within the Water Affairs Department.
Mm-hmm.
So 3.5 million. And he said no and continued with those stories.
So he turned it down, right?
Who he turned it down.
And as a result, he wins. So he won effectively the main award for the night, right?
He won the main award for the night. We have adjudicators who... So basically what we do is that a few months towards the Netnekasa Awards, a lot of our platforms would then send out invites for people to nominate who they think is worthy of the Netnekasa Award. And then when the nominations have come in, we have a jury that decides on who is the final winner for the award.
Okay, how do you verify the fact that he turned down the three million rands? I mean, that needs an investigation in its own right, I would think.
Look, I mean, obviously, within a lot of newsrooms, there are protocols. When something does happen to you, you would then need to report it to your editor. That's how generally a lot of newsrooms work. And obviously, this is also something that the paper itself had to deal with. had to basically ensure that they also protect him and to check if there was any element of threat, because there was also threats to the reporter while covering those many stories around that. So it was something that the newsroom also had to deal with. And also, I mean, Ashraf, you know, generally, you know, we actually expect that reporters would go to their editors when threats are made to them, because that's where the first line of protection must be. And also, you know, when you are facing something as constant and as sustained and clearly as very much orchestrated to try and silence you, you would then go to your editor and to report that. So all of those things had happened. He was actually recommended. I don't sit on the panel of the NetNakasa Awards. We've got Dr. Joel Kohler, Peter O'Sullivan, Crystal Audison, and Professor Sasante, who do all of that work. And they would go through that process and then decide on the final winner.
Okay, and how significant is that, the fact that a journalist gets offered $3 million, $3.2 million, effectively to shut up, right? In the context of the current investigations and a range of state-owned enterprises and this issue of Guptagate, in terms of what that means in terms of state capture, and I'm not suggesting any of that are particularly true, but there's lots of allegations around that, and the issues of journalists who then get literally sort of into bed with people to try and portray a story from a certain angle. In the context of all of that, how significant is the award and what has just happened?
I think it's very, very significant. I mean, we must talk about, you know, there was an issue or concern, especially at community media and also radio station. I remember last year we did a workshop in Limpopo, and one of the big challenges they were facing was brown envelopes. And this has been a phenomenon that has been there. But, you know, for us, the important thing is that you need ethical journalism. We need journalists that will actually go out and tell the story the way that it is without influence from anyone. And that is the core of what SANEF stands for, and that is what we want all reporters to be standing up for. Because, as you have mentioned, you know, the stakes are quite high, as we are quickly realizing in South Africa. There are people that are heavily funded, that do have deep pockets, who want to ensure that some of these stories are not told. And this offer might not be made to just people, but could be made to many others. And it is important that we have reporters and we celebrate reporters like Sipho, so that everybody else also can see that it can be done. We must remember what our job is, and our job is to speak truth to power, and our job is to do ethical reporting. And Sipho is an example of that. And then those that do offer the bribes also will know that, you know, it's not as easy as 3.5 million. We know we are very lowly paid journalists, but we believe more in what our job is, and we will reject it.
Okay, that's great. So in terms of Sipho, hopefully we'll chat to him. We'll try and get to talk to him later on this morning. But
yes.
just what your thoughts on what does it say about Sipho the person?
I think it shows a commitment to South Africa. You know, we try and say this repeatedly, to say, you know, media freedom is not about the newsrooms, it's not just about journalists, but it is about strengthening South Africa's democracy. And that is the commitment that he has shown, to say that there is a bigger project that he believes in, and he believes in a South Africa whose democracy will deepen, which will be corruption-free, and expose those that threaten and want to derail that democracy. I think for me that is the most important thing that it says about Sipho and what he believes his journalism is about. And his journalism is about, you know, things must be done right so that people do have access to services and there is money to do what South Africans expect.
Absolutely. I think the bottom line to that is, you know, accepting a bribe to cover a story or not to cover a story is very much the same as match fixing, as we've seen in things like cricket and soccer. It is,
yes.
It lets down the nation in very much the same way. Okay, we're going to talk about women in media, but just a woman in news in that case here. But quickly, there were two or three other awards. We're going to just run through what they were. Paula Frey, I think, involved in that. Matata Tedwa as well. Tell me about those.
Okay, so Paula Frey was given the Rotisserie Award, which is the other award that we give alongside the Net Nakasa, and that is for people that have served SANEF with dedication and with distinction. And obviously, Paula, who has been, who's basically SANEF, we were honoring her for contributing. I mean, one of the big things that she led in doing was our last year when we had our first fundraising dinner. But over the years, she has been somebody who has given of herself in terms of time, in terms of expertise, without asking anything. And she was actually nominated by Mathata Tsedi for the Rotisserie Award, and it was given to her. And then Mathata Tsedi, obviously, you remember Ashraf, you know, I don't think we can think of SANEF or mention SANEF without thinking of Mathata Tsedi. And this was basically the management committee and also the industry thanking him as he now retires. You know that he was our executive director for a very, very long time. And even when he wanted to step down, we forced him to continue being at SANEF. And he was willing to do that. I mean, he has been basically the one who has, for me personally, held my hand as I started in this job. He is somebody who has given all of himself. And as we say, Ashraf, it was not just for SANEF, but it was about ensuring that we strengthen this democratic South Africa, and he was using the pen to do that. So we had a lot of titles where he had worked recognize him and say thank you for all that he has given. We had the Independent newspapers, the Sunday Times, the Tiso Black Stars, as now TNG is called, and also we had the City Press also honoring him. But on behalf of SANEF, it was to say to him, thank you for continuing to inspire journalists, to commit yourself to the work of SANEF, and always being available. You just have to ask him, and Mathata is there. And of course, we all know his contribution to journalism.
Absolutely.
In South Africa.
And certainly somebody, in fact, I've read both of them, Paula Frey and Mathata Tsedi, extremely highly, where they say, do something, I will do it if they ask. That's how I feel. But more importantly, of course, Matata's now got another big job, currently as the deputy chairperson of the SABC board. So there's a massive task that he's got, and let's hope that he gets that right. I'm sure if anybody wants to, well, if I had to vote for someone to be in those type of positions, that's the type of people I would nominate. Okay, let's move on then to other issues around the Congress that you had, specifically with reference to the role of women in media.
Yeah, you know, we've been here since Wednesday. I'm beginning to miss Johannesburg and the cold weather out there. And one of the important things that happened at the WANISA conference was the Women in News. And it was basically an opportunity to bring together women from across the world and talk around the challenges specifically that women face in the industry. And I have to say, you know, it was quite moving, Ashraf, especially when you sit with women that have achieved so much within the industry, and then you also realize that, you know, the challenges are similar. It might be just degrees that are different. I mean, one of the things that was highlighted was that, you know, there's still harassment in the workplace, but not only in the workplace, especially for political reporters. There's also sexism from the newsmakers that they go and try and interview. You know, those are some of the challenges. It was interesting to talk to women title editors who were talking about the difficulty of life-work balance when you're a mother, a wife, and a title editor, because unfortunately our jobs are not 9-to-5. You know, the story does not happen within those hours. It's any time, and the challenges we know are quite immense. And also, what was important was that it also gave us an opportunity to reflect in the sense that, you know, are we seeing a transformation where this old the industry, which was seen as an all-boys club, is it changing? Are we seeing more women? And I have to mention, Ashraf, one of the things that we are doing at SANEF together with Genderlinks, it's the 10-year anniversary since the last study that was done titled The Glass Ceiling. And basically we are now going back into the newsrooms to go and find out if we are moving forward or we have regressed. Because on the face of it, you might think it looks like we might have regressed. I mean, if you think about title editors in terms of main publication, a lot of the names that come up are certainly male.
Okay.
And you
That's fascinating and very, very important. So maybe a scorecard then, and let us know when you have that scorecard out in terms of the shifts that have taken place. By the way, you can certainly join in on this discussion. I'm chatting to Maklati Gallens. She's the chairperson of SANAFRA, the South African National Editors Forum. We spoke about winners of the NAF Nikasa Awards. Now I'm looking at the World News Media Congress and specific reference to the Women in News Summit that took place, in Durban over the last few days. 0891104207. If you wish to comment on that, specifically reference to news and women in news, and if you want to talk about that in general terms, that's absolutely fine. Hashtag media show if you are tweeting, and many people doing just that anyway, great, you do that, and then tweet to me, Ashraf Garda, as well as to SFM Radio. SMS is 40938. So some of the points you made earlier on, Maklati, about, you know, women and the difficulties they face when they go about doing the job as journalists, you know, does it surprise you, keeping in mind that I would think, you know, if you, and this is a fact in my opinion, if you want to progress in South Africa, if you want to understand socio-cultural differences, if you want to understand the need to move one step ahead, then playing in the media space allows you that, because it allows the type of diversity that very few industries do. Meaning, I'm suggesting that the media industry should be very far more progressive than most others. And are you suggesting yes, but in some cases, surprisingly, no?
Look, I don't think that you can basically remove the media from the larger South African community, because we are part and parcel of the South African community. And if we admit, and we do know this is a fact, that patriarchy remains a big issue in South Africa, we can then not say that the media would then be very different. Yes, we do think that it should be leading in terms of removing all of that, but we are seeing that, you know, we live and work with men that are part of the South African society. And the change, yes, we must work on that change to happen. It is not just automatic that because people are in the industry, therefore it equals to them being slightly different. And also, I mean, Ashraf, another issue that I wanted to mention was that, you know, around the fake media,
yes,
we have seen how, for example, women editors have been sexualized on Twitter, for example. You know, we've seen all of those campaigns where they've basically degraded the women editors. You know, they could have the male editors where they call them fake news peddlers, but with the women, it has been specifically that they have sexualized them. And those are the challenges that we have to deal with, that cyberbullying and that attack on especially women editors, and to try and silence them or to make them live in fear. And we have seen that as we start to comprehend what has happened, especially with paid Twitter and trying to push their own agenda. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've seriously done is to sexualize the women editors and try to degrade them.
So I understand that, you know, certainly, and correct me if I'm wrong, whether it's SANAF or the Women in News Summit, I'm not too sure where it fits in, but there has been a fight back campaign around fake news. Is that correct? And if so, what form does it take?
So basically, as SANAF, we do have a fight back campaign. And what we are realizing in that fight back campaign is that, you know, the very important thing is to raise awareness. Because when we started talking around fake news last year, Ashraf, people were not even aware that this is a phenomenon. Because what happens is that people read the stories. They are written like news articles. They appear to be names and sources attributed to those codes. And people start believing that this is a true news story. And they were not aware that there are these fake websites. And actually, you know, then also we saw a phenomenon where those people were using the branding of established media houses, and they would just change one letter, or they, in for example, News 24, they would add a one. But if you are a News 24 reader, that the branding is exactly the same, and you think that you are on an authentic News 24 site, but you actually are not.
Mm.
And that's why we've had to say that the most important way, part of our fighting back, is to actually raise awareness, because we also need a very critical society, so that they don't just, you know, they don't consume everything they see written down and simply say that it is the truth. They have to question it, but they have to be aware that there are these fake website. I mean, we have had a very deep conversation about, is it actually fake news? Should we be calling it fake news? Because it's one, it is misinformation. Two, it is also just lies. And people have said that calling it fake news is trying to equate it to the real craft of journalism. And maybe it is the language that we also use that needs to change so that we can distinguish between our real journalism and the lies and misinformation campaign that is going on. Obviously, in South Africa also, what has become very clear, and also through this leaked group to emails, is that, you know, this was a very well-funded campaign with expertise behind it, and also very prominent South Africans used to misinform. So we have to realize that if we're going to win this, we have to all have a hands on deck. It has to be something that we are fighting, not only as authorities, not only as journalists, but all of South Africans need to be on board. And also part of it is obviously talking to the likes of Google and Facebook to see how they can help us in trying to, you know, show the fake news websites so that those stories are not shared on those platforms. Because, you know, some do it simply for financial gain, but alarmingly we are seeing that it is used for political gain. I mean, we were reading something in the States where they were saying that, you know, the fake news dominated conversations on social media than real journalism. And they were talking about very established brands. They were comparing with what the New York Times, the Washington Post, who had very massive newsrooms committed to the presidential campaigns in America. But they were finding themselves competing with, those that were peddling misinformation
with the reality of fake news. So were there, you know, some significant resolutions or action plans than that were passed at the conference?
You know, what is important about Wanifra, Ashraf, is that, you know, we now have heard from Indonesia. We have now heard from America how they're trying to push back. And that is going to inform our plans going forward. It is a very important platform because it brings together the world's editors. And it is here that we start sharing ideas and we reflect on the challenges that we are facing. And we are able to see what has been successful in other countries and then what hasn't. I think the one important resolution was that it is something that needs all of us to be on board. The fact-checking institutions are critical. They are very, very important. And we're going to be encouraging newsrooms to actually work with fact-checking organizations so that we make sure that the work that we put out, it is verified and it is therefore correct. So that has come back and it has helped in other countries.
Well, we certainly need to get that right. Let's get a quick call from Cape Town. John, go ahead. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I think the whole issue of the world problem of the media is the mass killer. Once you don't address that muscular issue, it will always create problems and hiccups for women, especially, and even for children, too, in the school.
Explain, what does masculine mean in the context of the call?
So-called the gender issue, the man. The man is always the powerful. What he make decisions, government, business, in communities, that is always the issue.
Okay.
Okay, and the woman doesn't expose, and even in the communities and even in the schools and institutions. That's the problem.
Okay.
And the fake news is always all the time.
Okay.
And it is fake political, economical, and social.
Well, we certainly know that. Thanks
Thank
for that
you.
Call. Thanks for listening as well, John, from Cape Town. McClatchy, we've got about a minute or so to go. Any other important points that you want to bring to the foyer in the light of your summit?
You know, I just wanted to say quickly, too, in response to the caller, it is important, especially as media, that we do have more women as thought leaders in this country, and that is part of changing how we actually talk to women and engage with women, not only seeing them as victims, but we do know that they are also experts in their own right. If we are looking for economic analysts or political analysts, we have to do more in terms of finding women experts to talk to those issues. But I think more critically, Ashraf, I think just to round off, we are facing troubling times in South Africa, and it is important that we are able to distinguish between real journalism and the misinformation campaigns. And it's people can just be aware and join us in this battle, especially because we also will be going towards our own elections. You know, we want a citizenry that will make informed choices, but not ones that is about misinforming them, so that whatever decisions that they make, they're based on the truth. I think that's where I would leave it, Ashraf.
All right, great. I'll tell you what, just lastly, if there are things you need to still say, then just feel free to tweet it to us. Or if there's links you need to just attach to our timeline, just do that anyway, right? And maybe even to reiterate some of the things you've said and want to add some more. From a personal point of view, I've noted some of the tweets about Makhlata Gallen saying, what a brave woman, and she's done outstandingly well at the helm of Senef. So someone who has worked with you and knows you, I can say I'm very proud that you're South African and we're in the same camp.
Thank you very, very much, Ashraf.
All right,
thank
there you. We are. Makhlata Gallen's the chairperson of SANEF, the South African National Editors Forum, doing some fantastic work, and I think great things have come through from that conference, the World News Media Congress, specifically looking at women in news, that summit, and then the SANEF for the Natakasa Awards last night. So there you are. How do you turn away a 3.2 million rand offer to basically shut up? And you say,